Hello everyone and welcome to this very special Lemon to Now podcast with me and Mark Sefton. I hope you're all doing really, really good. My name is Gary and I'm the person behind Lemon to Now, and I am bringing you an exclusive interview with the one and only Mark Sefton. Now Mark has already got one book that's been released called Inside Job. Now he's releasing his next book and I've got an exclusive interview with him to talk about the different chapters and what they mean to him, and to give you a bit more insight about his new book called Plot Twists. Now sit back, relax, grab a biscuit, grab a cup of tea, because we're going to be going through each of the chapters step by step. There are so many golden nuggets laced within this interview. Let's get cracking with part one. This is a very special podcast extra for the Lemon Hour crew with a brilliant guy who I've known for a couple of years and I respect him massively. So Mark Sefton, thank you very much for joining us. He's been the author of, or he still is the author of, Inside Job, but he's just released his second book, which is available now. Mark, tell us all about it.
Well, you know, I think on the back of Inside Job, which was an experience in itself, you know, really opened my eyes, self-publishing a book. You know, I never really tried too hard, to be fair, to get a publisher, Gary. I thought, you know, sometimes I like to know the process and understand it even before I let somebody else do it on my behalf.
Makes sense.
You know, so I thought, you know, I'm not going to stress too much about this. I'm going to be proactive. I'm going to reach out to the people that had already written a book.
Mm-hmm.
And I'm going to get one marketing tip from each of them. Which I compiled a list of about 82 things, and to my amazement, there was a few ideas that I'd come up with that none of the 82 had mentioned.
Okay.
So I had about 100 ideas of how to market the book, and you know, I really enjoyed that, and I wasn't sure if I had a second book in me, and I knew I had to live a little because I poured so much of who I was into Inside Job over a 7-year period. So I kind of wanted to live and love to write through story, because I think it's a great way for people to really connect.
People get stories.
They do.
Yeah.
You know, emotion, they can put themselves in it, they've been in that situation, you know, and so I think, for me, I always tend to like to speak and to write in ways that I respond well to, you know, so I enjoy, you know, stories, I enjoy them painting pictures so that I can kind of see and feel what they went through. And, you know, I love a good movie, so no surprise here, but there's two movies that I focus in on plot twists, like I did with Inside Job, and they're great stories of really what I'm getting at within the context, you know, of plot twist, which is just an incredible book full of stories which actually, you know, were personal to me. And the premise of Plot Twist really is, you know, we have visions and goals for our life. Things come from left field and take us in a different direction. And it really teaches people how to pivot, evolve and reinvent themselves.
Yeah.
Things that I've gone through that have enhanced and shone a light in terms of the little bit of success that I've had. Also revealing some of the failings and some of the times, you know, when I've got things wrong. You know, and we all make mistakes, and we all you know, get it wrong. And I even shared a video today on my Facebook and Instagram about how once a leaf falls from the tree, you can never reconnect that leaf back onto the tree. And too often in life, we think that we can go back and actually glue onto a tree, you know, something that fell off, you know. And so we need to be mindful of the fact that we need to understand that the decisions we've made in the past, you know, are in the past, and we've got to really focus on what's ahead.
It's all about the journey.
Yeah.
It is. So the new book is called Plot Twist.
Yep.
How did you come across the title? Because it's quite a cool idea.
Yeah, I mean,
quite a cool title.
I always think that the name of something should really articulate the essence of what it is.
Yeah.
And I believe that for even a business name, you either have to kind of identify a new name which you can then put the meaning to, or you need to be quite astute with what words, you know, what emotions, what stories, what thoughts do they, you know, provoke. And plot twist was, it was different to Inside Job. Inside Job, I knew the title, and then I kind of wrote the content in relation to the title. With plot twist, I'd already written a portion of the content, but hadn't really came across the name. I often feel that when we take periods of time out and we change our environment, that's when we're able to really tap into more of our creative awareness.
I agree.
And it actually came about on the last day of my trip in Austin, Texas. I was there for South by Southwest. I spoke during South By, which is a great event in Austin, Texas, which is a mix of innovation and entrepreneurship, and then it evolves into film and then music. So a real good,
good mix.
Yeah. I mean, it's crazy, Austin. I absolutely love it. So if you've never been, definitely a place to go from so many different levels.
Yeah.
It was on the last day, actually, Gary, and I'd organised a few people to come and meet at a local restaurant just to have some time together and just basically pool, because I love to connect people. And it made me laugh, the amount of people that I connected with in Austin, that live in Austin, that didn't know each other. And I'm thinking, you know, I'm connecting you guys, you know, and I'm, you know, 3,000 miles away. Like, are you guys asleep in Austin? Like, so that made me smile. But again, I love creating a crowd, not just for my own benefit, but I sincerely love to help other people connect with the people that I think are awesome. Because if you get an awesome lot of people in one, you know, room, that's an exciting place to be.
Oh, too right, yeah.
You know, and so that was great. Had a reasonable turnout. And then a few of us said, you know, actually, we've got a free afternoon. I was like, well, it's my last day in Austin. I really don't have anything, you know, on my agenda. So a couple of us kind of went along with a local guy called David who lived in Austin and knew the area very well. And he said, you know, I want to take you to some of the most secluded places of Austin. And he was going to take us to a natural spring. It was a national park that I didn't even know existed. It's a beautiful natural waterfall in Austin. It took us about 25 minutes, I think, to get to it from the downtown part of Austin. And he was going to take us to this natural spring. And it's funny, in America, they always seem to do things differently. And basically, it had room for about 100 cars. And then once the 100 cars had parked, then it had like these signs, which basically operated on a one-in, one-out kind of service. And they had these little markers, so where your car ended up stopping, it would determine whether it was 3 hours, 2 hours, 1 hour before.
Like the Alton Tower, like you could
that's right.
You've got the markers,
the lines, And I don't know whether that's a good thing or not. I think probably it is. I think I like to know when it comes to stuff like that.
Yeah,
because you can make a conscious decision then whether it's worth, you know, your time, and you've got the time to do it. Well, our car stopped on a barrier and a sign that said 2 hours, and we kind of deliberated and thought, you know, that was too long for what we kind of had. So I was a little bit disappointed, and then in the back, the girl in the back, she shouts, "Plot twist!" And I'm like, you know, what on earth? And I just said, what are you on about? And she's like, well, whenever, you know, we have, you know, plans and then things don't go according to plan. You know, you find and you fall in love with a house, you put a, you know, a bid on that home and you think, blimey, you know, I really love that home, and then the chain breaks down and you're left disappointed. And I was feeling a bit like that, and she was saying, you know, when things don't go to plan, she shouts plot twist, and it kind of helps her refocus on the opportunity and the adventure that can be had, rather than dwelling on the disappointment of what you really thought you wanted. You know, and in life, sometimes things end up not being as good as you thought, but equally, they can be even better.
Yeah.
You know, so I thought, I love that. I thought it really sits nicely with a lot of the stories I've already kind of written for Plot Twist. And I love that, how true it is that we have goals and visions for our life. Things come from left field and take us in a different direction. And the book is full of stories of how to pivot, evolve, and reinvent yourself. Looking at my own journey of success and failures over the last few years and sharing stories that are meaningful and impactful that really do result in a plot twist. If you think, you know, life is one big plot twist. Yeah. You know, writing the book was a plot twist. The amount of times I had to pull my hair out when things didn't go to plan, or had to rewrite a whole chapter, you know, and just things that you just thought would be seamless, you know, were difficult. But again, it's about embracing the adventure and not dwelling in the disappointment of what you originally set out, you know, to do.
Yeah, I think that's a powerful message, not only in business, but in life in general. Mm-hmm. Because if you think about any situation, there's so many variables, things can change.
Yeah.
And it is exactly like you said, it's how you react to the opportunity that then gives you.
Yeah.
Cool. Do you know what? Let's finish there for this part, because afterwards I would love to go into the different chapters.
Great.
Into a bit more detail. Is that all right?
Yeah, perfect.
Cool.
I really value relationships and appreciate that not everybody can afford or has the time for one-to-one. And that's why I created a series of mastermind groups, bringing like-minded people, trailblazers, authors, creatives into one place where they can be encouraged and held accountable to what they really want to achieve. If you want to be a part of one of my masterminds, you can find out more at marksefton.com.
Cool, so we're back for part two, and we're now going to be talking about the different chapters and about going into a little bit more detail about them. So, Mark, how does the book kick off?
Well, you know, I think being mildly dyslexic, and one of the great things that the feedback I had with Inside Job is the fact that the font is a decent size, the chapters are short and sweet.
Yep.
I found that a lot of people read the book and then they would dip in and out of certain chapters, you know, but, you know, literally like no more. I don't think any chapter is more than 6 pages long. So if you're like me and you have a daily habit of reading 10 pages a day, you know, within, you know, 2 weeks, you can have read it Inside Job. And that's typically how I read books myself.
Yeah.
So I kind of kept the same theme in terms of keeping the chapters short and sweet.
Mm-hmm.
Because I don't know about you, but I love to know that I'm progressing through something.
Yeah.
Also, it's easier to then highlight and hone in on an idea that you've read. And because the chapters are so small, it should be able to help you, you know, find it.
I'm so glad you said that, because one golden bit of Inside Job for me was that I could absorb each chapter as an individual,
yeah,
rather than waiting until 3 or 4 days later and then it all clicking together. You'd read a chapter, you can then process it, and then you can move on.
Yeah.
So you've got the same thought process behind this one here.
So yeah, you look at what works and then you add to it and do your best to enhance it. It kind of surprised me, Gary. We read a lot of books and we can be guilty of kind of wearing a badge and saying, you know, I've read 12 books this year. But when we read, do we actually then actually write down what we've just learned?
Of course not. Not all the time. You can't.
No, so it's one of the things that I've been building behind the scenes that I'll hopefully launch in the future of the things I get myself and clients to measure on a weekly basis, but really get them to really think about what they're reading, what they're listening to, and what's the one thing that they could take away from what they just read. Because it's these things that you're going to really help serve.
You know? True.
So jumping in, I kind of set the context of why, so the story I shared, kind of why I called it plot twist and how that came about. And then I jump in with relationships. So some of the titles are a little bit more curious and I think probably a little bit more punchy.
Mm-hmm.
And then others, I guess, you know, are just a little, you know, I don't see the point of being creative for the sake of being creative. Sometimes you just need it to be simple. You know, so some of the chapters are not breaking, and some of them aren't bespoke to me. It's more my interpretation.
Mm-hmm.
And then others are very much personal and have, you know, more of a metaphor. But chapter one is relationships. And the reason I put relationships is because I've always valued people over profit. So I get in business, the only way you have a business is to be profitable. But I've always valued making an impact and valuing people and valuing my customers and clients more so than over profit. Like, even to this day, I don't have contracts where I tie clients into like a 3, 6, or 12 month, you know, mentoring program, because I believe that if I'm any good, people are going to want to hang around. Now, for me, relationships are the one thing that I would say is one of the reasons why I've done what I've done is because I love people.
Mm-hmm.
And so, you know, relationships is one of those things that if you invest in and do it properly and do it sincerely, you will have a big impact.
Yeah.
Because none of us can influence anybody who we don't like or love. You know, the reason why our parents, for example, for many of us are so influential is because we love them.
Mm.
But if a stranger was to tell you to do something, that you're less likely to do it because there's no context, there's no love, there's no clear agenda and support of why you would allow them to influence you. So relationships, you know, is quite a complex chapter that, or it could be, but it's very much about the importance of prioritizing relationships in order to really achieve any sense of worth, both personally and in business. The second one is called Find Your David.
Okay.
Which,
it's a bit cryptic.
Yeah, I love it. It's one of my favourite chapter titles because I know exactly what it means, and obviously I articulate that in the chapter, and without kind of spoiling the book, it's the sense that there's people in our life that we meet, and how we met them is profound, and it's the sense of there's these Davids that are all over the world, and they're all in areas where we meet and we live. And how do you find your David to really impact on your life?
Okay.
So without spoiling it, that should give people enough of a handle on, in terms of what
makes
what
me want to read a bit more, which
yeah,
is
of course.
Doing their job.
Of but course. Yeah, yeah.
No. That's cool. So the second chapter is
Find Your David. Yeah.
Nice, okay.
The third one is Pay Attention. So it's just the sense of, you know, we live in a busy world. There's so much distraction, so much noise. We really got to start paying attention because people and opportunities are shouting at us, and we're so oblivious, we're so blindsided, we're so absorbed with ourself. You know, and that's one of the challenges that I've found. You know, even for myself, you know, when you are your business, you want to promote, you want to take hold of opportunities, you want to put yourself out there. But then equally, you don't want to always come across that you're only about your own agenda.
No.
And about your own business. And that's hard because obviously I am about my agenda purely because, you know, I am my, you know, I am my business.
Yeah.
You know, but it's really about paying attention to the things in our life that are going to help us and serve us the most with the opportunities that are ahead of us. Chapter four is Make Things Happen. So, you know, we have loads of ideas. I honestly believe if you're given an idea, it's because you've been given the mandate to actually do it. So,
can you just repeat that? Because that's quite powerful just in that one bit.
Yeah, so people that are given ideas, I believe they have been given the mandate to execute that idea.
Yeah, I love that. Yep.
Yeah, so it's the sense of, you know, we all have ideas all the time, and yet we kind of sit on them, and sometimes we never do anything with them, or actually we procrastinate and somebody else comes along and does it.
Yep.
So it's that sense, if you have an idea, I believe that you've been given the mandate to bring that idea into fruition. So it's really, yeah, about making things happen, so not just thinking it, but acting on it.
Good.
The fifth one, which I love, it's a saying in many ways for me, and it's called bust your chops. So it's that sense, we live in a world which is, you know, all about convenience. It's all about, you know, movies on demand, online banking. We live in a society that's all about convenience, and we've kind of lost the art of hard work and really busting your chops, you know, to make things happen. So it's really about work ethic and going that extra mile and pushing forward. And again, I share stories around that. The sixth one is called Keep Austin Weird, which is a lot of stories around my trip to Austin. It's their slogan, Keep Austin Weird. And I kind of share.
That's quite cool to have a slogan like that.
Yeah, that's what it's called. And obviously I reference where that came from. And give a bit of a backstory towards that. And it's really a kind of a, what I learned from the whole vibe of Austin and how we can create that vibe in our own life, in our own town, in our own city, through the way that we live and interact. The seventh one is probably really hard for me because it seems like such a random like chapter just to throw it in there. It's called Eggs.
Why have you called a chapter Eggs?
Well, in some ways it's funny because...
That's crazy.
It is, isn't it? Because like you've got Bust Your Chops, Keep Austin Weird, and then Eggs. But you know, I think a part of me, you know, my personality in a lot of ways is very... kind of random in some ways. Like there's a lot of strategy that I do, but I also like to mix things up. I like the unpredictable.
Yeah,
you know, and throwing eggs in there is just an interesting kind of plot twist, I guess, for where people may not expect it. But again, in some ways it is out of context, but I've done that deliberately in some ways because even within the chapters there's a message there that the acute will come across and be able to, you know, pull from. In some ways, if I was to kind of share a little bit maybe of the context, it's really probably around the whole chicken and egg kind of thought process.
Yeah.
So that's eggs.
Eggs, brilliant.
Chapter 8 is Who Are You? Who?
Who?
So great song there. And... it's just the sense of this chapter is really about identity. It's about really you knowing who you are, what you were put on earth to do, and how you go about doing that. So that's pretty much, I think, straightforward. But it's for me, the greatest place you can be in life is knowing who you are and what you were put on earth to do. Because most people, they accomplish a lot of things, but they don't know which direction to go. You know, for me, once you know that, that's when life gets really exciting.
Yeah.
So that's chapter 8, Who Are You? Who? Doesn't make me want to sing it, but I won't. So I don't want people to stop listening.
Go on, you can sing it.
No, I won't do that.
Okay.
I always say you gotta stick with what you're good at and forget the rest. Chapter 9 is Changing Lanes. So that's based on a video that I did on YouTube, which was pretty much titled Signal. Was it Signal Maneuver? What's the terminology that we have when we're driving our car? Mirror Signal Maneuver. Yeah. Thank you. Yeah, just, yeah, plot twist. So mirror
Signal. We can both drive.
Mirror Signal Maneuver. So it's kind of based on that YouTube video that I did, but it's really, changing lanes is really about accountability.
Mm-hmm.
It's about letting people know where you're going and why.
Okay.
And you do that with a core group of people. So that's pretty much the premise of Changing Lanes.
Nice.
Chapter 10 is called Force of Nature. So it's this sense of, there's a great quote that says, your energy introduces you before you walk into the room, which I think is beautiful. Wow. Isn't that beautiful? So it's that sense of, you know, you don't even have to say who you are or what you do, but it's your very energy and your persona that introduces who you are. And so being a force of nature is very much around that. Mm. It's about, you know, we get tired of people saying, you know, I'm a leader or whatever, because if you're a leader, people will follow you. So it's that sense of, you know, let your persona, let your energy introduce you and do the talking for you before you even open your mouth. So force of nature is really around how you impact and how you can impact those around you.
Brilliant. Well, I'll tell you what, because we're about a third of the way through the chapters, let's break it for just a second, then we'll come back and we'll have a little bit more information about the rest.
Great, sounds good.
If you did want to get on the podcast, all you need to do is contact me through Twitter, search me at Leamington Hour, all one word, and then you'll be able to find us, connect with us. You can check me on LinkedIn and Facebook as well as Gary Jones, but mainly let me know about your story, let me know about your business or event, and we'll get it sorted. But I would love to have you on the show, and I would love to hear, promote and connect you with other business owners and help you promote your business or service. We're now going to review the next 10 chapters of Mark's new book called Plot Twist. So what's chapter 11 all about?
Well, just on the last podcast, I mentioned, you know, one of my favourite quotes around, your energy introduces you before you enter the room. So I actually spent quite a bit of my book focused in on energy, because I always talk to people about how they need to manage their energy and not their time. And when I say energy, I don't necessarily mean a spiritual energy, that there's a lot of crossover with that.
Mm-hmm.
But it's really about only committing to the things you're good at, the things that you love, and the things that excite you. You know, so people always say to me, Matt, how do you do all that you do? And I'm like, well, I only actually commit to the things that I love doing and the things that I'm good at. And so I always make time for it. It's seamless, you know. And so chapter 11 is master your energy. So how do you go about doing that? How do you protect that?
Mm-hmm.
So the book, similar to Inside Job, there's lots of stories, but then there's also practical things that people can do. Because I think it's important to have a mix. It's no good, you know, seeing, you know, a poor person and say, you know, I'll pray for you, when you could actually give them some money alongside the prayer. So it's
true.
It's really about, you know, not just it being an holistic thing, but something that's practical. So that master your energy. And then the chapter after that is called Energy Matters. So it's really how do I master energy, and then the benefits of mastering it, and how that will then make an impact and will make a massive difference in your life.
Okay.
The 13th chapter, which when I've wrote this, I did think, because in some ways this is very niche, because this chapter is, I believe it's probably the only one that isn't going to be relatable to everybody, but it's called Parenthood.
Okay.
I guess it's really just the sense of, I'm hell-bent, Gary, on the fact that I'm not prepared to be the greatest mentor I can be, at the detriment to being the greatest father I can be. And being the dad of three beautiful children who I absolutely love and I'm excited just to see how their whole journey unravels. It's just a sense of the need for parents, especially in the world we live in now, to make sure that we are passing on absolutely all the good, all the great stuff that we've achieved, and not to mollycoddle them or to protect them so that they never experience reality, but really to understand that each of us, we decided to bring our children into this world. You know, we owe it to ourselves and to them to really invest in them as best we can. So it's just, I'm just sharing a little heart on that, which leads really into chapter 14, which is called Lessons from Children. And while I've learned personal lessons from my own children, you can learn lessons from any child. And I always love the purity and the sincereness of what comes out of a child. But I think if you have the attitude that you can learn from everybody, it does shift the way that you relate to people, you know, because if I believe that I can learn something from everybody, it really helps me show them respect and maybe not belittle or judge based on how they look or what they do. So it's just a sense of, you know, how to look for lessons and how to find them. Chapter 15 is called Have Confidence Saying No. I've worked with loads of clients, you know, that have a real hard time saying no. They often feel guilty. They often, you know, do things out of obligation, so they end up burnt out. I talked in Inside Job, and people have always said that they always remember this, about that when you are on an aircraft and the altitude like goes and the masks drop down, that you are supposed to put, you know, the mask on you first and then help somebody else. You know, even if it was children or the elderly, because you can only help others from the place of your own, you know, strength.
Yeah, makes sense.
So it's really about the importance of saying no and the confidence with that. Yeah. And again, that goes back to managing your energy. It's about having respect for yourself. It's about having the energy for the things that you do love and the things you are good at. Chapter 16 is called Change That Diaper. So it's kind of like a funny picture, really. In some ways, I thought, you know, about having a picture in Plot Twist of me in a big nappy. And I thought,
that would be a plot twist.
Some people would love that, and some people would be like, what the heck? But Change That Diaper is that sense of people sit and wallow in their own mess.
Yeah.
So it's a powerful metaphor of kind of in life when people do that. They sit and wallow in their own mess.
Yeah.
It irritates them, but also you stink. You know, and so there's a bit of humour with it, but it's a beautiful, powerful, and people get it.
Yeah.
You know, change that diaper. So that's that one.
Yeah.
Chapter 18 is kind of derived from a blog post that I wrote that I kind of wanted to drill a little deeper in, which is walk your fears. So I used to have a fear of dogs. Mm-hmm. And I didn't overcome that until I was about 13. And really the premise of that is the way that I overcome my fear of dogs was to actually walk them.
Okay.
Which it sounds crazy, because you're so close to something that you really don't like.
Hmm.
But in some ways, because I was walking them, it was beautiful. I still remember it now, the first time I walked my friend's two dogs.
Yeah.
The great thing was, is because I was afraid of dogs, when I saw dogs in the park, if dogs came over, these are the two dogs would intercept. So actually, in some ways, it kind of, you know, and I just built up a relationship because the fact that I walked them, then they trusted me, and dogs are very, they reciprocate, you know. So it's kind of taking some of the clear steps on a practical level, as well as a story based of how to overcome our fears by walking them. Which is just a different spin on it.
Yeah, that's good. All of these are really kind of good golden nuggets, just individually.
Yeah.
Because, and I love the fact that they're crossing over as well.
Yeah, some of them will cross over, and some of them with the eggs will be plot twist. And some of them I'm not reinventing the wheel, it's more my interpretation, and others there's more of a story behind it.
Yeah.
Chapter 19 is confidence, because I think confidence is one of those things that, if you get it right, it does create more opportunity for you. Mm. I don't like arrogance, because for me, arrogance inflates yourself, but in the process belittles others. Confidence for me is really being comfortable and know who you are, mm-hmm. but equally lift and encourage other people for them to embrace who they are, so that you can collaborate and create a win-win.
Mm.
So the confidence chapter is really about how to build that confidence, and why I'm so confident, and what I've had to go through from a child being bereft of confidence and not really knowing his purpose and not really feeling like he belongs in society, to somebody now who is confident in who they are, and I know what I'm good at and I know what I'm not.
Mm.
So some of it is around that. And then chapter 20... I talked, I think, in the first segment of the podcast about how I love a good movie.
Yeah.
And in Inside Job, I talked about Seabiscuit, which is a fantastic movie, which I always tell every entrepreneur to watch. And some people, I don't think they're sold on the fact that it's about a racehorse. I mean, I'm not even that, you know, crazy about horses. You know, I had a bad experience on one, but really, it kind of was a great movie that really kind of communicated my thought process on that.
Yeah.
But chapter 20 is called Unbroken, and it's based from the film Unbroken about the life of Louis Zamperini. And it was Angelina Jolie who turned it into a movie, and it was originally a book. So it's a true story, and I kind of share what I took from that movie. So Louis Zamperini, he's a prisoner of war. He's captured by the Japanese, and he's tortured. He's on a life raft before he's captured for 40 days. He has an incredible story and journey, and I kind of depict key points to his personality, to what he overcame, and basically I share kind of what I learned from it, and it's really powerful. So it's a great chapter, it's a great movie, so I always encourage people to watch the movie, because they may be able to feed in some things that they may have learned that I didn't. Mm-hmm. So it's just a great discussion point, really.
Oh, brilliant.
But that's chapter 20.
Hey, spot on. Thank you very much.
Yeah. If you'd like to get your hands on a copy of my latest book, Plot Twist, head over to Amazon, put in Mark Sefton, Plot Twist, and you'll see that one and Inside Job as well.
We're back now for the last part, last review of the chapters of Mark's new book, Plot Twist. So, we're on chapter 21. Take it away, Mark.
I don't know about you, Gary, but whenever I hear somebody speak for the second time, there's nothing more kind of frustrating than hearing the exact same stories.
True. You know, in the you want to keep it exciting. You want to keep engaging.
Yeah, I remember hearing a guy. He must have been booked for about £50,000, and I mean, and thankfully, I didn't pay for that. But I'm like, you know, it really disappointed me that he shared the exact same things at an event, you know, 6 months previously. I'm like, surely you've got to. It's got to be something different.
Yeah,
you know, and when it came to chapter 21, I kind of deliberated whether I should have it in there. Because it, in the same context of writing, when, you know, people that have read Inside Job, I want them to not be reading the same stories and the same sort of philosophy as, you know, with plot twists.
Makes sense.
But the one that I decided to go with, just because of the power and the magnitude of it, was gratitude.
Mm.
Now, what I did actually on this, which I didn't do in Inside Job, is people that had read Inside Job, there was a couple of people that I gave the opportunity to basically share what they'd learned from my thoughts on gratitude in terms of how they'd changed their life, in terms of being grateful, what were some of the physical actions that they did, you know, how did they go about increasing that gratitude. So I actually have three people that read Inside Job that actually contribute to this chapter of gratitude.
That's really cool. Okay.
Yeah, so gratitude is really based on the fact that when we focus on what we do have,
mm-hmm.
rather than what we don't, we create that abundance mindset.
Yeah.
And if we're coming from a place of gratitude, we are often positive, and positivity is the greatest ingredient to being creative.
Yes.
You know, so when I'm most creative, it's on the back of when I'm most positive.
Mm-hmm.
And when I'm most positive, it's really when I'm most grateful, when I'm focused on what I do have and not on what I don't. So some of that, and then feeding in from some of the people from Inside Job that actually read that book, and then it changed or shift the way that they relate to gratitude.
Perfect.
Chapter 22 is called The Power of Reflection.
Mm-hmm.
I love growing, like, on a personal level. People always say to me, Matt, what's the greatest kind of thing that you do in terms of developing yourself? And I always say it's the ability to reflect. So I just share the importance of reflecting, what reflection will do for you and your life and your business. So again, it's very quite practical, but it makes a massive impact. Chapter 23, this stimulates again from another YouTube video.
Mm-hmm.
It's funny, really. If you go onto YouTube and you put in how to give birth, it's quite hilarious. In some ways, I'd like to say, Gary, I'm a marketing wizard.
Okay.
Because basically, if you put in how to give birth, you literally have about 100 videos of women, you know, screaming their head off.
Sure.
And then right in the middle, you have my face.
Okay.
So it's one of my most watched YouTube videos, because they must think, who is this clown?
Yeah.
He's talking about how to give birth.
Is he a dad? Is he going to be? Yeah. Is he at the side of his lovely wife?
Yeah.
At that time.
Funny, isn't it? So,
so
how to give birth is really, in essence, we all carry dreams and visions in our life.
Yeah.
But we have to birth out of us what we are carrying. So okay. I talk about some of the steps that in the natural a woman goes through in terms of contractions, the need to breathe, it being painful. Mm. But we need the tension and pressure of life in order to be able to birth what's within us out.
Okay.
So that's pretty much the premise of how to give birth.
Nice. And check out the YouTube channel.
Yeah. You can do that. Chapter 24, there's no blood, by the way. Chapter 24, that would be quite funny if I dressed up in that sort of doctor wear. That would be quite funny. Chapter 24 is called Startup Failure. So I did a whole webinar on why startups fail, and it was really engaging. I thought it's a great topic. People have asked me to contribute to why I believe startups fail. And so I thought it was poignant and very practical and insightful to be able to kind of put that in there.
Cool.
So I just share, you know, my beliefs in terms of why startups fail and how you can prevent or reduce the inevitable. 25 is called Difficult Choices. So some people really struggle, Gary, to know which is a good decision, which is a bad decision. When you get to a certain level, you then have the challenge of what is a good opportunity and what is a great opportunity.
Mm-hmm.
So I talk about how I make choices, especially when they're difficult, and what are some of the things that I do, you know, in order to do that.
It's a useful skill to have.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Chapter 26 is called Shortchanged.
Okay.
So it's that sense of, I always say to people, you know, especially in relationships, if you feel shortchanged, it's basically the fact that you're giving to the wrong person. So it's that sense, if you do something for somebody and you don't get, you know, the reciprocation of, you know, investing in that, then, you know, you'll have a sense of feeling shortchanged. So I talk about, you know, if you were to go into a shop and purchase something and then you realised it only had one sleeve or it had a rip in it, or you know, just to get people thinking about... Mm. It's interesting, really, Gary, because when it comes to relationships, people always say, you know, about how, you know, you should do stuff, you know, for people, you know, not expect anything back. And there is times when I think that's true. But then equally in life, you know, there's things that we do every day that we wouldn't do if we knew we weren't going to get anything back from it.
I think it's just important to add value to every interaction you can do.
Yeah.
I think for me personally, that's one of my beliefs.
Yeah. So it's really, it's not about stopping being generous with your time or your gifts or your money, but it's really about being a great steward of who you give your energy, time and money to. So, okay. I mean, you know, if you believe in like the Bible and it talks about the parable of the sower and the sense that if you were to scatter seed on the ground, on the pavement, you know, around thorns and weeds, you know, and then you plant it in fertile, you know, ground, you know, depending on where you're planting will really determine how much of a return you get. So it's really about exploring some of that.
Nice.
Chapter 27 is called Self-Promotion. So I think I kind of mentioned this at the start around finding that challenge and that sweet spot between, you know, if you're your own business like I am, finding that sweet spot about promoting myself so people know I exist, but then equally not promoting myself so I seem like I'm self-indulgent and, you know, so it's trying to find that sweet spot.
Yeah.
And I can't say that I've still mastered it yet. So I share my own vulnerability and my own struggle within, you know, both people identifying the fact that they know what I do and that has a positive impact because people buy my books, you know, and they buy my services. And then, you know, I guess some people criticizing the fact that, you know, Mike's always selling his, you know, he's always selling his book. So it's really, I get quite honest and vulnerable in that in terms of finding that sweet spot, but I guess through me trying to help other people, I guess it helps me navigate, you know, my own journey. Yeah. But it's that's still very mature.
And actually, to be fair, most people probably, again, they can relate to that.
Yeah,
because it's so true.
Yeah,
it's a balance act.
Yeah. Chapter 28 is called The Ripple Effect.
Chapter 28.
Cool. So chapter 28 is called The Ripple Effect.
Mm-hmm.
So it's really about the fact that when you're doing what you love, what effect and what impression do you have on those around you?
Okay.
So it's really about understanding that we all are having an effect on people, and whether that's positive or negative, it's really about the fact that we will all disrupt and interrupt and change and make an impression on those around us. So I talk a little bit about how that works and why. Chapter 29, which is based on the second movie that I've mentioned in this book, it's called The Way.
Okay.
Now, even talking about it, I just get so excited about it because it just speaks to me in so many levels. But The Way is a true story, or based on true events, that is based on the Camino Santiago, which is a pilgrimage from the French Pyrenees right across Spain.
Okay.
It's got Emil Estevez in it and Martin Sheen. Now, Emil Estevez, he drops out of uni, much to his father's displeasure, who's played by Martin Sheen, and he decides to go on this pilgrimage, I guess, to find himself. At the start of the journey, he ends up getting caught up in a natural disaster, loses his life. And so Martin Sheen's father flies over to the French Pyrenees to collect his son's ashes, but decides to complete the pilgrimage and scatter his son's ashes along this pilgrimage.
Okay.
Now that's just one part of it that's powerful.
That's powerful anyway, yeah.
But what takes place is the fact that people are doing the Camino for different reasons, and so you have all these different characters that join this trek, one of them being James Nesbitt, and there's some other actors that I'm not as familiar with, but they all represent something, and they're all doing this journey for different reasons. But there's so much in it that I kind of give a synopsis of kind of what I actually got from it.
Mm.
So I'll share a little bit of context of what happened and then really the takeaway.
Brilliant. You know. Okay.
Chapter 30 is independence. So it's really that sense of embracing who you are, especially, you know, when, you know, we live in an age where, you know, everybody seems to want to jump on, you know, a bandwagon and gets caught up in hype. And it's just really embracing your own independence. And realizing, you know, that when you die, you don't take anybody with you. You know, you do that alone. So it's just kind of just bringing it back to the point of being authentic.
Yeah.
And then the last chapter is personal development. So it's that sense of, if I want to continue to grow and if I want to continue to evolve and pivot, that I've got to continue to investing in my own development, in my own skill, in my own curiosity, in my own influence. So, and then I kind of wrap up some final thoughts. I take like kind of the takeaway moment from each chapter, so people have got something that's very defined within that. And it has a nice flow to it, you know. And I have a great editor who managed to move the chapters around so that they're more in flow.
Mm. Oh, brilliant. Yep. In terms of the actual kind of final thoughts, we're going to come back now for the last section in just a second.
Great.
So what does this mean for Mark? We catch up with him for this last and final part where we discuss what it means to him and what the future is, and is there a third book potentially? We don't know yet. Let's hear what the answer is. So let's take it away with the last part for me and Mark. So Mark's journey has been absolutely fantastic, and I've loved speaking to him, reviewing all the different chapters. Now, Mark, if you're going to kind of sum up the whole of the book and look at all the chapters, have you got one particular chapter that resonates with you more than the rest of them, potentially?
I think probably Find Your David, because I think it paints curiosity, but it goes back to relationships. And Brené Brown said, "I define connection as the energy that exists between people when they feel seen, heard and valued, when they can give and receive without judgment, and when they derive substance and strength from the relationship." So if I think of the people that have made an impact on me, and if I think of the opportunities that I've had, it's all come through the ability to be able to relate, to build a community, and to really help each other.
Mm-hmm.
You know, the sense of this podcast has really come through relationship with you, and the fact that we have a mutual respect and, you know, and value each other. And so the whole, I guess, the premise of Find Your David is that sense there's people out there that you've not yet met that will have an impact. You will have an impact on them and they will have an impact on you.
Mm-hmm.
It always makes me laugh when people are like, "Oh, I don't speak to strangers," or, you know, they kind of keep a distance or they have boundaries because they don't know who somebody is. But I'm always quick to remind them that the people that you are close to now were once a stranger.
Mm.
You know, and it's funny, there's people all around us every day that, you know, if we would just kept our head up and our eyes and ears open, and if we engaged, because, you know, Find Your David is about a true story of where I actually met and engaged with a guy called David. And the results of us talking and conversing and engaging opened up into something beautiful and meaningful on a personal level, but also on a business level.
Mm.
And so I share kind of like the real impact of the fact that if you do keep your eyes open, if you are willing to engage, then people do help you evolve, they do help you pivot, and they do help you, you know, reinvent yourself. Mm-hmm. So relationships is so key for me on a personal and a professional level that I think that's the chapter that really resonates, because without people, you know, we weren't created to be alone. We were created to do things together.
Mm-hmm.
You know, we are better together. You know, and that's probably the chapter that really resonates, just because of the impact and because of the world in which we live in now, which doesn't even seem to value human life, doesn't seem to have respect. We've lost the ability to be able to respect other people's beliefs. And I guess it's just trying to bring back more of the human and the kind side of people that are out there that can make a difference, and you can make a difference, you know, to them.
That's beautiful. Yeah. You know, it's very true. And the relationships and community is so important to me. I get that completely. Yeah. And the opportunities you can get just by talking to people are immense.
Mm.
If you're going to sum up the book in maybe one sentence, how would you describe it to someone?
Well, I think I'd describe it as, we have visions and goals for life. Things come from left field and take us in a different direction. And Plot Twist teaches you how to reinvent yourself and evolve.
Beautiful one sentence.
Mm.
Love it. Okay, so just remind people how they can get a copy of Plot Twists.
Well, it'll be available from February 16th, and be able to purchase it on Amazon. You can pre-order it on Kindle before then, but it will be available on paperback. That's probably going to be the easiest way,
mm-hmm.
is for people to purchase via Amazon. If you are local to the area of like Coventry and Warwickshire and Solihull and Stratford, those sort of areas, then no doubt you'll see me at a networking event. You'll be able to purchase and get a signed copy from myself directly.
Nice. That's
probably going to be the best channels at this point, Gary.
Brilliant. Well, I cannot wait to start reading it myself. Really can't. Inside job, I loved. And this one here, just going through the little sections, I'm all about little golden nuggets. And I talk about it on the show all the time. What's your golden nugget?
Mm.
And you've pretty much given us 31 golden nuggets per chapter, which is great. And then to have it summed up right at the end, even better.
Yeah.
So I can't wait to read it. I'm definitely going to pre-order and get a copy on Kindle and Amazon, just because I'm greedy and I'm on both. Mark, been a pleasure. Thank you so, so much.
It's been great. Thanks, Gary.
Cheers.
Cheers.
Thank you so much, Mark, for that absolute brilliant insight into your new book, Plot Twist. Now, I hope you've all enjoyed listening to me and Mark. Now, that book is available on Amazon and on Kindle, so get them checked out. And don't forget his first book, Inside Job. The chapter about finding your inner sniper is one of my favourite chapters of all time. So if you want to learn a bit more, and if you want to find out a bit more about Mark, check out his website, check him out on Amazon, Kindle, and let's get on it. Now, I hope you really enjoyed this podcast extra. Thank you so much, Mark, for everything you've mentioned. And everyone, let's take it away and let's go grab this book. Take care, everyone. Have a great one.